It's Friday morning with the Musers coming up at 8:40, a Jones Family Radio special. Right now at 8:18 on the ticket. We're going to talk about alien beings and run-ins with aliens, because the last couple of days, Gordo's been doing the corner on the Fermi paradox, discussing if there is such a mathematical chance that there are other planets, there are other civilizations where there is intelligent life, then why haven't we had any documented interaction with any of those beings from those civilizations? The odds would say they would have visited, but we don't have anything firm. We do have a lot of stories, though. And many, many years ago, this is one of the best stories ever told on this station. It's really interesting. And so we have Matt McLaren from our sister station ESPN Radio here with us in studio. Matt, of course, you used to hear him on the ticket. Hi, Matt.
Hello.
And you've told this story a couple of times on the ticket before, but it's been a long time. So given what Gordo has been talking about, we thought we'd have you in to tell the story.
Okay.
All right, so take us back. What year roughly is this?
It would have been 2005 when I was in my mid-20s. I was living in a small, rinky-dink little city in the middle of north central Florida.
All right, and we want to make this clear. This is not Matt making this up.
Right. This was an actual experience that you had.
Right, and that's the thing is I always tell people, I mean, whatever you believe when I tell you what happened to me, I actually experienced. Now, whether or not I was taken, you can debate that all day. That's fine. But I experienced it. And yeah, it happened where I lived. It was this is a horrible trash city. And I was trying to start my radio career. I had an opportunity to do a morning show in Florida. So I move out there. I'm living by myself in essentially like a swamp area. My apartment backed up to a wooded area. And just like a little swamp lake thing. And that was all that was behind us. And this would have happened at some point. I can't remember exactly when now, but it was in 2005 for sure, where I had the experience of essentially you think that you're dreaming and you wake up and you can't move. And the fear, I'll never forget how horrifying that experience was of waking up and not being able to move and feeling like a floating sensation that I'm in bed and yet I'm not. And I remember looking at the around the bed. I'm able to move, you know, you can move a little bit like your eyes from side to side, but not really move your body.
See, I've had this before, sleep paralysis. I've experienced it once, and it's terrifying.
And I remember when I told you guys about this before, and you had brought that up, and that was really the first time that I thought, well, maybe that is what it was. Because I remember seeing that there was the beings on each side of my bed. There were two at the foot and then one on each side of the bed. And I remember being horrified, and yet they were communicating with me in some form or fashion that they weren't there to hurt me. But that sensation, I mean, it was very weird.
Right, we need to stop here, because my experience with sleep paralysis was I woke up and I couldn't move, could kind of move my eyes,
right,
and I was freaked out because I couldn't move my body, and it's extremely terrifying. But I had no visual representation of any beings or anything like that around me.
Right.
Yours is different. Because you look at the foot of your bed, and what did you see?
Well, it's, again, the grays is how most people would describe them. I mean, the four and a half foot beings that, you know, and it could be that I believe in extraterrestrial life before this experience. So maybe it's something that's like a fear of mine that harvested itself in the sleep paralysis. I don't know. But yeah, that's what I saw. I mean, it's the light gray skin with the, you know, the somewhat almond-shaped eyes, not like super giant like you see on the posters and all that, but, you know, obviously larger than a human eye. And the experience of going from that to some sort of like a doctor's office that was not as cold and sterile as our typical hospital room would be, but obviously was meant for some sort of an examination or something that they were going to do. You know, like if you would go, in my mind, more of like a psychologist's office would be.
Okay, was it a jump cut from when you are laying in the bed?
Yeah, like I don't have any experience of being on a ship or anything like that, or being floating through space or anything.
Right. You know? So you're in bed, can't move, look down at the foot of the bed. There's two gray
beings. There's two at the foot and
beings,
one on each side, yeah.
Stereotypical alien-looking beings, and there's two on each side of you.
Right.
They're all four gray
beings. Yeah.
And then it kind of switches all of a sudden into this.
Yeah, and it, that's from my memory, yeah. And that was that experience. And then coming back again And so this is where, like the whole thing, and again, before when I experienced it, it had been 5-6 years when I talked to you guys about it for the first time really on the radio and the Hardline and stuff, and started to actually research sleep paralysis because I'd never even heard of that. So for 5-6 years of my life, I'm just living, you know, I couldn't go to sleep by myself. Anytime I had to sleep by myself, I was married at the time, and if my wife was out of time, I would have just I turned on all the lights in the apartment. I could not sleep. Yeah, I couldn't. I was so horrified to be alone at night.
Right.
And even now, I finally have gotten to a point. This is really, this is probably really in the last 2 or 3 years that I can sleep by myself without light on.
Wow.
And because I that experience of being alone and having that, the fear is so real that it had taken me a long time to finally process and read more into sleep paralysis and read more into other things that could explain why I had these visions, why I had an experience that was so real in that regard.
Okay, go ahead, Junior.
I was going to say, when you said that you could sense they were communicating with you as they were standing around your bed, was it verbal English? Was it telecommunication?
Well, see, and that's the thing is, I heard it, but
telepathy, whatever that would be.
Right, and so it was dark, so I don't know if they were actually talking to me or if it was in my mind I could hear them. So I don't know if it was, you know, telepathic communication or if they were actually just speaking, but right. I heard it like somebody was speaking to me.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember being
What did they say? Do you remember the message?
We're not here to hurt you. Everything's going to be okay. And, you know, don't panic. Oh, and I keep remembering, we're not here to hurt you.
Wow.
Yeah, I mean,
okay. That's good. That's better than right. We are here to hurt you.
Did it put you at ease, or are you still feeling saturated by fear?
Yeah, I mean, I don't like talking about it. So I probably haven't told this story. I've told it briefly on our show that I do over there down the hall. On 103.3 FM, by the way.
Right.
If you want.
Sure.
So I told it briefly there, but I never really go into a lot of detail. One, because people, like the questions people get you, and I don't, you know, nobody wants to be known as, oh, you're that alien guy. You know what I mean? And so I'll tell the synopsis of it, and I've had people ask me, so what's this alien thing? I'm like, I don't like to talk about it really, because right. It brings back those feelings and it makes me feel uneasy.
Sure.
It was such a real experience for me. That, again, I mean, it took me years to where I could sleep alone without having lights on, where I could comfortably fall asleep. Now I can go to bed, I can fall asleep like a normal human being if I'm by myself in the dark. I mean, for years, even with lights on, I wouldn't be able to, if I was alone, I couldn't fall asleep till like 3 or 4 o'clock in the morning until I was just so exhausted I passed out.
That's awful.
Oh, yeah, it's horrible.
So they communicate this to you
right,
telepathically or however they communicated with you, trying to tell you don't panic. And it did not much to calm you down. You're still freaked out,
right,
fearful.
Yeah, right.
And then it cuts to this other setting,
yeah,
which you felt was somehow, it wasn't necessarily medical in nature. It may have been more psychological, but you're being examined in some
way. Yeah, and that'd be the best way. And it didn't necessarily mean physically. I never had a sensation of getting, you know, probed or cut into or anything right. of that nature.
But are they asking you questions?
Not that I remember, no.
You just remember being in there right. and they're somehow being attentive to you and gaining some information
right,
from
right.
you, but you don't know what they're...
And having the sensation of, as I explain it, the best way I can put it is if you've ever watched a movie where the camera angle is, you know, looking up and there's people looking down, and it's mm-hmm. like the first-person camera angle, it's mm-hmm. kind of what I felt like I was watching a film, but it was me, if that makes sense.
Mm-hmm.
And seeing, like, these you know, beings leaning over you, and just the fear of it. Then being back in the bed after that of, you know, I guess a jump cut type scenario again, where having that sensation of being in some sort of a room, a waiting room or something, and then being back in my bed where, and I remember telling myself that you've got to wake up, but then consciously I'm awake. Okay.
Yeah.
So like,
that's
like,
the same experience I had.
Like trying to force yourself to sit mm-hmm. up because you're awake, but you can't move. And I'm back in my room again and I'm looking around, and the next thing I know, I'm finally able to like push through it. And I sit up and they're gone. And I immediately, you know, I lean over and I turn on the lamp and there's nothing there. And, you know, I didn't sleep for like 2 days. I mean, it was just a horrifying, real experience for me. Whatever I'm describing, I experienced. So
right.
take whatever you want it to be from that.
So in your research, obviously after this, you've researched it
right.
several times throughout the years. It seems like most people who have had an experience, it's never a one-off.
Right.
It seems
right.
like these beings follow you throughout your lifetime and will frequently check on the same
right.
people and, you know, it's almost like they've tagged an animal.
Mm-hmm. Right, like the Christopher Walken movie Communion was right. one like that, where he was visited regularly, you know, and like Travis Walton, who the abduction in Snowflake, Arizona, you know, he was taken for several days, and they found him in a town way, you know, miles away. But yeah, I'd never experienced anything like that again or remotely like that.
Mm-hmm.
But anytime, like, I don't watch alien movies or anything. I have a, it's a very odd, like, it triggers something inside of me that brings me back to that feeling again.
It's almost like primal. It's beyond your intellect.
That's a good way to describe it. Mm-hmm. But, you know, after reading everything and when I told the story originally, I think it was like 8 years ago on the station, and I had some, you know, you told me about sleep paralysis. I had a couple of listeners who sent me long emails about experiences that they'd had. And looking more into sleep paralysis, it's easier for me to believe. I want to believe that's what it is.
Right, that there's an alternate explanation.
Right, yeah, because, I mean, nobody obviously wants that to be real.
Well, I remember when I had my sleep paralysis, and I've only had it once, too. That only happened to me one time. You remember, it was when I was living in that place off of Cole Avenue, Junior. You remember that apartment I had there? It was right after I moved into that, and I had that experience then. And I was convinced that I had died. I thought I had died.
Wow.
Because I wake up and I cannot move my body. And yet I clearly know that I'm... The world that I was in didn't make sense because I couldn't move my body. My body was now an inanimate object.
Right.
How long did that last?
You know, I wish I had written down my experiences and all this, because I used to know more detailed what all I experienced. Because there was something about time that either it lasted a long time... I think what it was my experience of it was a long time, but when I looked at the clock, it was a short time, or it may have been the opposite.
Right.
It may have been I experienced it as a short time, but then I look at the clock and I couldn't believe how much time had passed.
So I've become interested in the thought of other dimensions, and I believe in extraterrestrial beings as well.
Sure.
And I think that it's plausible that we visit them in a different dimension. How you get to that dimension could be through drugs, it could be through whatever. Do you think the sleep paralysis was in some weird way a door to that dimension, and that's why you could experience
it?
That?
It could be some sort of astral projection, you know, because that's something that I've read on as well that I think is possible. So perhaps that's the sensation of being conscious of being somewhere else in another dimension while, you know, not being able
like
to move.
Like bi-location, your body's in one location and your consciousness in another.
Yeah, I mean, there's a lot of, like, I've read where, you know, people believe there's a theory out there that these extraterrestrials are actually humanoid figures from the future that time travel back, but that's what we eventually evolve into years and years down the road.
Right.
You know, that are coming back, and that's why, you know, they're studying you, much like we would go and study dinosaurs or whatever.
Yeah, it's like studying fossils.
Yeah, whatever, yeah. So.
Mm-hmm.
That makes some sense, too.
That's kind of what I think.
And that's why they would take on a somewhat human form.
Right.
You know, be 4.5 feet tall with eyes.
Well, because they're from us. So they may be us in the future.
Exactly.
So now, after you were introduced to this idea of sleep paralysis and a little bit of an alternate theory was proffered to you, do you find yourself still believing the one-to-one representation that you had of the alien experience before, or do you now think that it could be an alternate explanation?
I think there could be an alternate. And again, it goes back to that's what I want it to be.
Mm-hmm.
So it's easier for me to believe that it was sleep paralysis because that's sensible and logical versus, for whatever reason, extraterrestrial beings, whatever it is, chose, you know, okay, let's go this one random guy. That it's so illogical to think of that actually taking place versus sleep paralysis, which many people experience and have had hallucinations while having sleep paralysis. So that logical and plausible explanation is a lot easier to grasp.
But I just wonder why yours had this alien component to it. You know, mine did not. And I wonder if the majority of sleep paralysis cases, I would assume, have no extraterrestrial type content to it.
Yeah, and I've wondered, because I've read where it can conjure up like whatever you have fears of, or, and I don't recall, did I see a movie or watch a show at some point that week, that day, you know, that was fresh on my mind, and that's why, you know, my vision and hallucination or what have you while being in sleep paralysis portrayed that.
Mm-hmm.
That's easier to grasp than, oh yeah, people came from another planet and took me away.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you didn't go to an alien costume party the night before or anything
no,
like that,
No, not
right?
that, no. Not that I recall.
So if it happens to you again, do you think that you would be better prepared to handle it?
If I don't know. if I experienced that again,
I'd be more freaked out if it happened again.
See, I don't think I would.
Really?
Now, I don't know, because there's something about, like, when I experienced that. I mean, and Junior, when he talks about the fear, it is crazy the amount of fear that floods your body when this happens to you. It's almost like it's a component of it, and it's not necessarily, I can't move my body, so I'm afraid, although that is an experience you have. It's like the fear even predates that realization that you can't move your body. It's like you wake up and you're flooded with fear all of a sudden. I mean, you're just saturated.
That sounds terrible.
It is. It's the most overwhelming type of fear that you can imagine.
Yeah.
Well, we appreciate you sharing the story. We know you got a show to do, so indeed. Thanks so much. I hope you sleep tonight.
I think at this point I'll be okay, I hope.
You ever sleep in a bed with John Jacques just for safety on the road?
No, I don't think we've tried that yet.
Okay.
I'm afraid of getting a bed.
Give him some wings. He loves wings,
that's
by the way.
I don't know if you've heard that. I have heard that, yes.
All right, that's Matt McLaren from our sister station, ESPN, telling his story. It's 8:34 here on The Ticket. Coming up next, a Jones Family Radio Special.